We're going to look together at Romans chapter 12 and mainly verse 2, but let's read verse 1 as well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see a very shortened definition of a transformational church. Transformational churches make disciples whose lives are being transformed by the gospel. And so I want to share a message about living a transformed life. Now, after you become a Christian, one of the first things you should ask is, now what? What should I do now that I'm a Christian? Well, Paul wrote to some new Christians in Thessalonica and said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification is a process whereby you become less sinful, less self-centered, and more obedient to Christ and living the Christ-like life, serving others. And the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so God intends for us to experience a transformational life, a transformation of life. And I want to ask you to take a look at your life, and from the time you were saved until the present time, how much change, how much transformation has taken place in your life? It ought to be very dramatic. It ought to be quite a bit. Now, the first point, the first step in experiencing the transformational life is found in verse 1. Where it says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. You know, until you say to God, God, I'm yours. My body is yours. I'm going to live for you. I dedicate my life to you. You're probably not going to do verse 2. And so that is a very, very important step. And so we're going to look mainly at verse 2 and see what the Apostle Paul says as to how we experience transformation of life. And the first step is this. We need to stop allowing the sinful world to mold our lives. He says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed means to mold and to pattern after. Don't mold and pattern your life after this world, the Apostle Paul says. You know, if you were to go to the state capitol in Richmond, you would see a life-size statue of George Washington. The French sculptor who did this did not want to make the sculpture from paintings. He wanted it to be as true to life as possible. And so he actually went to George Washington. He actually took measurements. He even took a mold of his face. And so it is believed that this statue is as close as any to the actual representation of George Washington. He molded it into the image of George Washington. Well, we know that Christ wants us to be molded after His likeness, but the world wants to mold you into its own likeness. And we need to be careful about allowing the world to do that. Now let's look more in depth regarding to what we are not to mold our lives after. Notice it says there in verse 2 that we are not to be conformed to this world, he says. Now, what does he mean by world? He's not talking about the earth. He's not talking about the common word translated world. which is cosmos, which refers to this organized system of humanity, but rather he uses aeon in Greek, literally the age. Stop being conformed to this age, he is saying here. This present evil age in which we are living. The Greek scholar Trench defined this word as all that floating mass of thoughts, opinions, aims, aspirations, which constitute the worldly atmosphere in which we live. And one thing you will know if you study history is the spirit of the age is constantly fluctuating from societies and eras. It's constantly in fluctuation. You know, we're living in an age where there is increasing tolerance for any kind of behavior whatsoever. And there is decreasing intolerance. There is an increasing intolerance of Christian moral standards. We live in an age of political correctness. We live in an age where educational systems, the media, the entertainment industry is actively promoting the present spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is focused on what is temporal, what you feel, what you experience. And that's the focus of it. It focuses on material things. He says, stop being conformed to the spirit of the age in which you are living. And you know, we have to be careful about applying verse 2 also, not just to us as individuals, not just to our family, but to churches as well. You know, we may have a tendency to believe that if we're going to reach unbelievers, then we've got to change our doctrine so that they find it appealing. That we've got to change our morals so that they find us more appealing. But nothing could be further from the truth. You know, there's recently been a well-known author, a Christian author, whose books have been pulled from Lifeway because she has embraced gay marriage. And again, perhaps her thought is, you know, we just got to get with the spirit of the age if we're going to reach this age. But someone has well said, the church that marries the spirit of the age becomes a widow in the next generation. And so we are not to be conformed to this present evil age. And notice what this present evil age does to tempt us and to draw us into its beliefs and its lifestyle and so forth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16, John says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He says, don't be conformed to this world with this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me break down to you what that includes. The lust of the flesh certainly includes sinful pleasures. Oh, this world is all about indulging in the sinful pleasures of this world. Whether you're talking about immorality, whether it's talking about drunkenness, whether it's talking about getting high on drugs, the lust of the flesh is very much a part of the age in which we're living. And then there's also materialism, the lust of the eyes. Oh, this materialistic world is constantly appealing to you with its products and so forth, wanting you to believe that, you know, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be fulfilled, you got to have what we're offering. And so the materialism of this age is very much a part of it. My roommate in college, David Allen, he was a youth pastor of a very affluent church in North Dallas, and I was a mission pastor of a multiracial church in South Dallas. I ministered among the poor people. He ministered among the rich people. And after being in that church for a couple of years, he said, you know, Steve, I've come to realize that the people that are rich are no happier than the people you work with. that are poor. Listen, materialism isn't really what life is all about. It's not what really fulfills life. But yet the world is constantly appealing to you along materialistic line. And then there's the pride of life. The pride of life, fame and power. The pride of life is taking pride in what you possess and in your position in life. And oh, how this world is constantly about what you have and showing off what you have and taking pride in the positions that you have attained in life. Keeping up with the Joneses. But you know, keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, the pride of life is not just an adult thing. It's true among young people as well. You know, I've noticed something interesting. And back in my day, you know, that they would have the junior, senior prom. And young people would dress up and do the normal things. But you know what's happened the last 30, 40 years? I mean, boy, you know, now it's going to the prom and stretch limousines. It's going to the prom and spending piles and piles of money on dresses and outfits and things like that. And you know, it seems like every year it gets more and more and more beyond what the others have experienced. And folks, that's can be the pride of life that he's talking about. And so the spirit of the age, don't be conformed to the spirit of the age. Well, what then should we do? First of all, resist the pressure to conform. Do not be conformed to this age in which we are living. You see, there is an attribute about us from the time we are children, and that is we tend to imitate, we tend to copycat. You remember girls dressing up like mommy and guys, you know, doing what daddy did, and you know, you would imitate. And God designed us to be that way, especially as children. But then, you know, when we get older, we want to imitate our friends and imitate the big stars in the world. And as adults, we have this same tendency to conform ourselves. But Paul says, do not be conformed to the spirit of the age. Now, why is it that the world wants to pressure us to conform? In fact, it's, the world will squeeze you into its mold if you let it. Have you noticed that the spirit of the age right now is all about diversity? But yet there's one group where there's intolerance, and that's of Christians and our values and our beliefs and our practices. You know, why is it that the world wants to pressure us into conformity? It's because when a Christian stands for Christ and is distinctly different from the world and lives a holy life, your life and your words are a rebuke to this world. And they don't like it. And so they want to pressure you into conforming unto them. This is why young people that live a different life are going to face ridicule. They're going to face pressure. And so don't let it happen. Resist the pressure to conform. And then we need to stop conforming to the world. In the original language, it can be literally translated, stop being conformed to this age. Stop it, he says. It was always a natural tendency for all of us to conform. And he says, stop it. Now, who is he writing to? He's writing to Roman Christians. What was Rome? It was the capital of the world. It was the capital, the seat of the spirit of the age. Washington, D.C., you know, Washington, D.C. is in many respects the capital not only of our nation, but the seat of the spirit of the age. And imagine living in Washington, D.C. and the pressure it would be to not conform to the beliefs and the aspirations and the standards of society. Paul says, stop. You need to put a stop to it. Now listen, when Paul says don't conform to this world, and when John says don't love the world, he's not saying that life is going to be a hermit and that you're going to be living a life that's dull and drab. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Jesus said in John 10:10, I'm come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Listen, following Christ and living for Christ is a life of love and joy and peace and many blessings. You don't have to follow the world and be like the world in order to enjoy life and to have a blessed life. And I want us to see furthermore that the fact that so many Christians are like chameleons. You know, they're with God's people, so they act like God's people, talk like God's people, but when they're with the world, they kind of blend in and act like the rest of the world. And that is not how it should be. And so we need to stop being conformed. Now, why? Why is this teaching found in Scripture? Well, there are several reasons why we should not conform to this world. The first is this, that the world, this age in which we are living, is dominated by Satan. It's dominated by Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this age. John said in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And so if you immerse yourself in this world and follow the world think like the world and live like the world and talk like the world. Listen, are you following God or are you following the devil? You're much more likely, of course, to be following Satan because he dominates the world. And then following the world and the spirit of the age is harmful to us. You know, I said John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But in the same context, Jesus says the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil is about killing, stealing, and destroying lives. And if you follow the world, if you follow the world with its immorality and its drug abuse and its drunkenness and all the things that this world does, it's, you know, so many lives end up becoming destroyed by it. It's not only harmful to you physically, it's harmful to you spiritually. The spirit of the age is poisonous to your soul. You know, if you were to have a child, grandchild, that accidentally drank poison, what would you do? One of the first things you'd want to do is try to give them something to vomit it up, get it, expel it as quickly as possible. And even so, the spirit of the age is like poison. You know, if your child drinks poison, you're not going to try to hope that his body just adapts to it. You need to get it out. And the spirit of the age needs to be removed from our lives as we see here. It's harmful to us. Paul had a missionary associate named Demas. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present age. And so he says, do not be conformed to this age. Furthermore, Christ died to rescue us from this age, this evil age. Galatians 1:4 says that. Now, if Christ died to deliver you from this age, why are we immersing ourselves and our mind in the spirit of the age? Do not be conformed to this age, this evil age, Paul says. And so that's what we're not to do. Well, what then are we to do? We are to allow God to transform our lives. Transform our lives. It says there in verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is metamorpheo. We get a word metamorphosis. Just as a butterfly is transformed from a caterpillar, even so, our lives should be dramatically transformed by the power of God. Another use of this word refers to the fact that Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration. One moment he looked like any other man in many respects, but the next moment he was transfigured. He was transformed before their very eyes. His deity on the inside and the glory of it became manifest on the outside. He was absolutely transformed. And even so, you and I are to experience a life that is transformed. We are transformed from a life of sin to a life of holiness. We are transformed from a life of sadness to a life of joy. We are transformed from a life of conflict and hatred to a life of love and peace. Listen, God wants to transform your life. And so every day, we ought to go through this process of experiencing life transformation. I want to ask you a question. Unless you were saved as a child, where is this going to be less the case? Has anyone ever said to you, boy, your life sure has changed. You sure are different. You know, if you were saved as a teenager or as an adult, and somebody has never said that to you, then perhaps you're still got a ways to go in experiencing the kind of transformation that God wants you to experience. So how do we experience this transformation? Well, notice he says again, be transformed. That's a passive. Transformation is not something you just work up, that you just do through self-effort. It's passive. Someone acts upon us. And who is that someone? That someone is God. That someone is the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, that we, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. This transformation takes place by the Spirit of God. It's something that He does. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and transforms our lives. But what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is given in verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is how transformation takes place, by the renewing of our mind. The apostle Paul talks about this also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says. Now, why is it that we need to experience this renewal of mind, where old thinking needs to be replaced with new thinking? Well, Paul said in Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. That's what Paul says about unbelievers. And why in the world would you listen to unbelievers when it comes to life, and especially about spiritual things? You need your mind renewed, Paul says. And God says in Isaiah, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. You know, there's a huge disconnect between the thoughts and ways of God and the natural thoughts and ways of man. And so we've got to develop all whole new ways of thinking. And that's how transformation takes place, by the renewal of your mind. And so how do you renew your mind? How do you begin to think like God? You know the answer, don't you? The Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God. You've got to memorize the Word of God. You need to get involved in a small group Bible study. You need to hear the Word of God preached. You need to read the Word of God on your own. Beginning when I was about 16 years old, I started reading the Bible. And more, I began to go to a church where there was solid expository preaching, where I was learning more and more of the Word of God and got involved in youth Bible studies. And, you know, over a two-year period, my life was dramatically changed. From a life of a typical youth life, just following, doing what everybody else is doing, to a life of much more of righteousness and holiness and the character of Christ and wanting to worship Christ. And no one had to make me go to church. Man, I wanted to be there. I wanted to worship the Lord. This takes place as the Word of God becomes internalized into our mind. And so that's how transformation takes place. But note the goal of transformed into what? Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says that God's purpose is to conform us into the image of His Son. Our goal is to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. 1 John 2, 6 says that we are to walk as Jesus walked. In each situation, you should ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Pattern your life after Him. Well, in the last of verse 2, we see the end result of this renewal and transforming process. He says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, one way you can know to what extent you have been transformed is this. Have you gotten to the point in your life where you want to do God's will, that you have found God's will in your life to be good and acceptable and perfect? St. Thomas Aquinas said, a man's heart is right when he wills what God wills. You know, before you were saved, did you want to do the will of God? You know, were you all into coming and worshiping Jesus and reading God's Word and living like God wants you to live? No, you thought, man, if I start doing that, live like that, oh, my life is going to be, you know, dull and awful. You know, you did not approve of the will of God. But once your life is transformed, you begin to see the Word of God as good, as acceptable, and as perfect. Nothing I'd rather do, Lord, than to do Your will. Yes, the word does not just mean prove, but here it means approve of the will of God. Has your life been transformed? Do you still need to experience a transformation? You know, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The first step in experiencing this glorious transformed life is to be saved. Give your heart to Christ. Repent of your sins. Trust Christ. And if you have not done that, we invite you to do that this morning. But as a Christian, has your life been transformed? How much like Jesus are you now? How much do you fully embrace the will of God for your life? If you're not there yet, you certainly need to experience transformation. It's by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, and as your church helps you to experience transformation through discipleship. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You not only save us from the condemnation of sin, but You save us from the power of sin. that you save us to live a transformed life, a life patterned not after this world, but after Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to repent of any times that we have followed the spirit of the age rather than your will and your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to respond and apply to this message as you would have us to. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.